Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhakti Vedanta ki jai, Gandhara Srima Bhagavatam ki jai, Girira Maharaj ki jai, Jai Nitai Go Premanande. Okay, so tonight we will read from verse number 34 to 42 in chapter 5. So specifically, we're hearing about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Don't come this late, guys. Don't come this late. It's too late. Specifically, we're hearing about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Yuga avatars. Okay. Text number 34. O Mahapurush, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after by even the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to a brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls, who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyamasundara. So Chandan, you want to read?
According to the Vaishnava Nyayas, this important verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is understood to describe Tanya Mahaprabhu, or Krishna and also Lord Sri Ramachandra. This verse appears within the discussion by the sage Karamjana of the Yuga Avatars for the different ten conditions of the personality of Godhead, who deliver the conditioned souls of each age. The prayers ending with the words Mande Mahapurushate Charan Bindam are understood to glorify the incarnation of Lord Krishna in Kali Yuga known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived for 24 years in Navadvipa as a householder and enjoyed immense popularity among both scholars and ordinary persons. His Sankirtan movement was completely supported by the local government even though it was Muslim. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the pleasure of marrying the goddess of fortune. No ordinary woman of the material world, no matter how gorgeous she may be, can in any way compare with the beautiful goddess of fortune. Everyone in the universe, including Lord Brahma, is searching after the goddess of fortune. Therefore, it is stated here, Surishtita.
That'll do. Okay, so what are the points? So, Krishna comes in particular incarnation for the age. This discussion will be there tonight. It's called the Yuga Dharma. Now, Yuga Dharma means the process to become perfect. In Kali Yuga, the process to become perfect is Harinam Sankirtan. Now, Harinam Sankirtan exists in every age. Right? In any age of in the universe, in such a Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, anyone can say Hare Krishna. There's nothing stopping anyone from chanting. The point is that the nature of the particular age means that people will chant or follow a particular religious principle or the Yuga Dharma according to the nature of the people. So in this age specifically, Harinam Sankirtan is the best way because it suits the nature of the people. Because why does it suit the nature of the people? Because we can't do the others. We can't meditate properly. We can't do the jagyas efficiently enough. We can't worship the deities opulently enough. Therefore, Harinam Sankirtan is given. So specifically for the Yuga Dharma. So the Lord comes to deliver everyone according to their nature. Mm-hmm. So when someone has a particular nature, then Krishna delivers them according to that nature. So in each age, the Yuga avatar, he appears according to what the people need. And he teaches according to what the people need. So in this particular verse, which we're reading, it describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's called Mahapurush, but the acharyas point out it can also refer to Lord Ramachandra and Lord Krishna also. If you read it, then you could discuss them. So Lord Ramachandra comes to teach a particular way, Lord Krishna comes to teach a particular way, and Lord Chaitanya comes to teach a particular way according to time, place, and circumstance. Srila Prabhupada is the Yuga Acharya. Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga Avatar. Prabhupada is the Yuga Acharya. So he comes according to time, place, and circumstance. And Prabhupada introduces the methodology or the Sankirtan Jagya, but then he tells us how to apply it, noting the nature of the people of the age. Just like if you look in 1966, Prabhupada initiated the first devotees in ISKCON. Right, and then he gave second initiation to some of them. And initially, Prabhupada was not going to give second initiation to any of the women. But then the women said to Prabhupada, "Then we don't feel enthused to keep coming." Which is, you know, that's fair enough. That's the way the people are in this age. You know, if you say to the women, "You can't have a second initiation," also, they lose enthusiasm. They won't want to join this movement. So Prabhupada adjusted the situation, right? And he gave the second initiation, the Gayatri Mantra and everything, to the women. That wasn't done previously. And then Prabhupada created Brahmacharinis. Right? That wasn't done previously. The word doesn't even exist in the Vedas. No such thing as a Brahmacharini. Then Prabhupada said, okay, Brahmacharini Ashram. So he is applying according to the time, place, and circumstance. So the particular avatar will come, and then the avatar will engage people according to their nature. So here, Lord Chaitanya, he is especially coming to promote bhakti, which is enriched with vairagya and knowledge. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speaks that verse. Vairagya Vija Nija Bhakti Yogena. Which means the Bhakti Yoga, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to teach, is enriched with Vairagya and knowledge. Right? These two are necessary. Right? And Lord Chaitanya showed the example. What did he do? Right? He renounced. Right? Who was his wife? The goddess of fortune. But then he left. Vishnu Priya. Right? Lakshmi Priya passed away. And then Vishnu Priya, he renounced. He left. Why did he do that? Because he showed us that we have to renounce this material world. Doesn't mean that everyone has to take sannyas. No, it doesn't mean everyone has to take sannyas. Because you couldn't do it anyway. Right? Even if... Yeah, imagine if everyone in this country had to take sannyas. Most of you couldn't do it anyway. So then what's the point? But he's teaching we have to renounce the enjoying spirit. The spirit of trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. You know? So then he taught renunciation. One Brahmana cursed him. Right? The Brahmana said, you have to leave. He said, I curse you. You will never have material happiness. And Lord Chaitanya said, thank you for that curse. For a devotee, that's a good curse. You will never enjoy materially. And the devotee's like, okay. It's happening anyway in our lives, so it doesn't matter whether you get cursed or not, it's already there. You're already suffering, so why do you need a curse? Maybe someone cursed you in your previous life. Because you're not enjoying anyway. So if someone comes and says, I curse you, you will not enjoy the material world. I'm not enjoying anyway, so what's the difference? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he got the curse, he said, thank you, that is a good curse. You will never be materially happy. He said, that suits me because I'm about to take sannyas anyway. So I'll go off and I'll renounce. I'll be a tyagi, right, and live as a renouncement. Right. So Lord Chaitanya went through that.
Who cursed him?
One brahmana cursed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in order to keep the prestige of the brahmanical class, he accepted the curse.
But why did he curse?
Because he was angry with Lord Chaitanya.
Why?
I can't remember the past one.
Because of the male in the Shiva Sangha.
Oh, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah. He wasn't allowed to come into the kirtan that Lord Chaitanya was having in Shiva Sangha. So then he cursed Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya said, thank you. He said, this curse is very satisfying. So, this particular verse, it speaks of Lord Chaitanya, but also it speaks of Krishna and Ram. And the devotees also worship Krishna, or rather Lord Chaitanya, as Shadbhuj. Shadbhuj means six arm form. Two arms of Krishna, two arms of Ramachandra, and two arms of Lord Chaitanya. So then, we worship him like that anyway. But he is, in this particular verse, you could take it all three of the avatars, incarnations, Krishna, Ramachandra, and Lord Chaitanya. They can all be understood from this verse.
He's Sarvabhauma
Bhattacharya.
What about this thing? Parvasana.
What is it?
No, there is in the fourth line, and the first word, the name is Karbhajan.
Karbhajan. She is Karbhajan.
She said this verse came in the discussions between him and the.
Between King Nimi and Karbhajan.
Yeah, that's the sage who was speaking. He is speaking and King Nimi is listening. And Narada is repeating it.
Okay.
So, it's interesting, if you read through the purport, it's a very long purport. Some of the purports here are very long. Mm-hmm. One of the purports has 10 paragraphs. So it's very, very long purports. So, it says here that how does Lord Chaitanya change the hearts of the conditioned souls, because the conditioned souls are trying to escape from Krishna. So how does Lord Chaitanya get them? And how does he bring them back? As we discussed last week, he does it himself and he also does it through his devotees. And specifically it says in this purport, he does it by embracing the conditioned souls. And that is the meaning of the word lila. You know, lila, what does lila mean?
Pastime.
But actually, Sanatana Goswami explains it. The word lila means to finish with embrace.
Right.
So it means whenever there's a pastime, it has to finish with embrace. You know, when Krishna's with his friends, and the end of the pastime, they all embrace each other. He kills the demon, everyone comes up and embraces him. Oh, Krishna, you killed him. Well done. With the gopis, right? He separates himself from them, he leaves the rasa dance. They find him again, and finally they come back and they embrace him. So it finishes with embrace. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna goes out all day, comes back. Where have you been all day? Right, finishes with embrace. So Leela must finish with embrace. Everything we do in our life has to finish with embrace. Otherwise you won't be happy. That's why people are not happy these days. You know, sometimes, you know, especially in families, you know, husband, wives, children, and so many people, you know, and then we get into conversations, and sometimes I get into conversations with my family or other people, and it starts going in a negative direction. I think, what's the point of this? This is just going to end up negatively. Let's just stop now, reverse the cycle, or change the subject, or reconcile the whole thing, so it can end in embrace. Otherwise, you're wasting your life, because in the spiritual world, everything ends in embrace. So it says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracts the conditioned soul by following them, capturing them, and embracing them. He would attract people, and he would embrace people, and people would fall in love with him. They would develop prema. Prema means love for Krishna. Prema. They would develop it in his association. He also does this through his anga. His anga means his weapons or his devotees. Right? How do devotees attract other devotees? Right? Why do we become attracted to certain personalities? Right? Because they're so affectionate. Right? They capture our heart. Right? You see, like Jayapataka Swami, always embracing. Radna Swami, always embracing. You know, so many of these advanced are always embracing like that. Right? Now just wait. Right? To capture, right, the conditioned souls. Right? To bring them back to Krishna. So the devotees, this is how the movement spreads. If you don't embrace, then people will not be attracted to this movement. Right? That is the way that the movement spreads. Lord Chaitanya himself personally does it, and then the devotees do it. Actually, that's the secret. We can go on the streets and chant, we can distribute prasadam, we can give out thousands of books, but if people come and don't feel there's a genuine affection there, people will not join the movement. Now, you can preach forever, but people will not join. You have to capture them by the embrace. So Lord Chaitanya was doing that. His devotees are also doing that. Right? And that's how the movement is spreading. That's how it actually says in the purport, that's how Lord Chaitanya is spreading the movement. So then it says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Sanskrit, when they break it down, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Lord Chaitanya is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. So he is the most ecstatic form of Godhead. Right? When Radha and Krishna are together in two forms, that is the most ecstatic experience in existence for God himself, that God feels the most ecstasy. And all the devotees feel the most ecstasy when Radha and Krishna are together. And then when he combines, the two of them come together in that combined form, right, that is the most ecstatic form of Godhead. That is Krishna covered by the mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So that is who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Because if you read this section, normally in the other yugas, the other 999 Kali yugas, in the form of Krishna is blackish. Right? The yuga avatar Kali yuga is a black form, but in this one form he becomes yellow because the blackish form takes the golden form of Radharani and covers himself. There's a very special form. And then at the very end, and this was mentioned last week as well, how do you get Lord Chaitanya's mercy? How will you get it? No, specifically what was said last week. It's also repeated in this purport. No guessing. You have to remember what we said, what we read. You have to bow down. Right? It says you will get the mercy. He is so merciful. If you go into the temple and you just bow down to him sincerely, he will always protect you. And it says he will even protect you at the time of death. And that's when you will need him the most. But he wants to see, are you bowing down? Do you come and bow before him? Not in a mechanical way. So often devotees bow down mechanically.
Sincere.
Yeah, just go on, go down, bow down, look at the deities, go to the next deity, look at the deity, go to the next deity, look at the deity, take some charanamrita, go out. It's very mechanical. Actually bowing down, actually absorbing yourself in the form of the Lord, giving your heart to him. Atma nivedanam. Right? Four ways to surrender to Krishna. So what are the four ways that we can surrender to Krishna? We can give him our words. No, it's not that. You give him our words. Higher than words is you give your money. Higher than money is you give your intellect. Higher than intellect is you give your life. So, you know, anyone can say nice words. Oh, you know, I like Krishna, I like that. That's nice, that's surrender. But more surrendered, okay, oh, I like Krishna. Okay, then give me $10,000 so we can build a temple for Krishna. Oh, okay, that's more surrendered. But even more surrendered than that is then you start to study the Shastra. With your intellect, you worship Krishna. But even more is then you give your whole life to Krishna. Everything, Krishna. So when you go before the deity, and when you bow down, you say, Krishna, I give you everything. My life I give to you. I don't keep anything. I give everything to Krishna. Then that's when you capture Krishna's heart. Right? And at that point in time, then he will always protect you. He'll always protect you anyway, but at that time he'll take you back to the spiritual world.
So first is word.
First is words, then is money, then is intellect. Tonight we've got a lot to cover. I'm not going to keep going through. If you can't keep up, then listen to the recording. Right? There's a lot in these sections. Right? So let's just stay on track. Right? Because there's a lot to cover here. Like that. Then we record the whole thing. You can listen to it in your own home, air conditioning. And you can sit there and you can listen to it. No problem. You put them online? Yes. Okay, any points? That's the only serious questions. There's so much to cover here.
When you're telling about Jayapataka Swami, Guru Maharaj, he's opening a very huge temple in Chittagong in Bangladesh, 22nd of April. You wish might be knowing. 22nd of April.
Let's stick to the point. All these are just extra things. Any questions you need, then I'll answer them. Otherwise, we all know all the devotees are glorious. Jayapataka Swami is the most glorious. We know that. But let's just stick to the points. We haven't got a lot of time here. So.
Prabhupada, you said bow down, but I can't bow down.
No, but you don't have to bow with your body. You have to bow with your soul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you go before the deity and in your heart you are bowing, like sometimes I can't bow either. Like a few times I hurt my leg.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the important thing. Krishna knows. Mm-hmm. If you can bow, then you bow.
Thank you.
Otherwise you go down, we will help you up.
Thank you.
Okay. Thus, O King, the Supreme Lord Hari is the giver of all desirable benefits of life. Intelligent human beings worship the particular forms and names that the Lord manifests in different ages. So this point is here again. This is discussing the Yuga avatars and especially the Kali Yuga avatar, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he gives the Yuga Dharma, which means Dharma Samstapanataya. He says in Bhagavad Gita, I will come again and again to give you the Dharma, the way to come back to me. So in every incarnation, what does he do? He gives us the way to come back to him, the way that is most appropriate for this day and age. Right? So in this day and age, the best way to come back is chanting the holy name. Because what is the goal of chanting? Why do you chant 16 rounds a day?
So we can chant more Krishna
Prema. Krishna Prema, that's good. So we can chant more, that's good.
To please Krishna.
To please Krishna, that's good. Why do we chant?
Begging for service.
Begging for service is good.
Purify consciousness,
that's good. All these things are true. Rupa Goswami says there's one reason why we do everything.
Always remember Krishna.
Why are you chanting? So you can remember him. So your mind will be on him. So you can remember his nama, rupa, guna, lila. Right? All these things have to come. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. His appearance day was when?
Last week,
right? We celebrated. We had half day fast, right? So Bhakti, he said, when you've been a devotee for 15, 20 years, hands up, you've been 15, 20 years. Okay, hands up, you've been 10 years. 10 years or more. Okay, so yeah, most of you have been like that. You know, 15, 20 years, 10 years. He says 15 or 20 years of being a devotee, he said you should be taking interest in the pastimes of Krishna when you're chanting. You know, your mind should meditate. And Prabhupada says, just here when you chant, but then there's other times when Prabhupada says, when you're chanting, from the chanting should come the pastimes of Krishna. You should begin to remember the pastimes of Krishna while chanting the holy name. So this is the reason why we chant. We want to remember Krishna. Right? Always remember him, never forget him. That's the reason why we chant the holy name. So Lord Chaitanya comes to give us this process. I want you to remember Krishna. Lord Chaitanya wants us to remember Krishna. So he gives us the process to remember Krishna, which is the easiest. What's the easiest? Chanting the holy name. But if you're chanting, but you're not learning to remember Krishna, then your chanting needs a lot of work. Then you have to chant so much deeper. Like that. Okay. So, it describes in this this verse, and also this whole section, Lord Chaitanya's Channa avatar. Channa means? Covered. Hidden incarnation. That's why sometimes, even in the Bhagavatam, it says Krishna is Tri Yuga. Tri Yuga means? Only in three years. Because sometimes in the description, if in the beginning of the 10th canto, when Nanda Maharaj is with Gargajarya, right? And what does he say to him? He says, Tri Yuga. He says, your son is Tri Yuga. He's come in three ages. He doesn't mention he's coming again. Interesting. Sometimes it's mentioned like that.
Was that his naming ceremony?
What's that?
Was that his naming ceremony?
Yeah. So he calls him Tri Yuga, which means only three ages. The Acharya is described in this section. These are very nice purports. You'll learn a lot if you study these purports very carefully. The Acharyas point out that Lord Chaitanya is a hidden incarnation. Because they don't want the people of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is full of quarrel and hypocrisy. Like, do you know Kripalu? That guru in India? Yeah, has all the ashrams, Kripalu? The Prem Mandir just down. Most of you know, right? Kripalu. So he was putting across that he was Mahaprabhu. He's putting across, I am the incarnation for the age. Right? And it's not just him. Many, many do it. So that's why sometimes the Acharyas explain. That's why it's not emphasized there is an incarnation. Because everyone starts saying, it is me, it is me. Mm-hmm. Not that. So that's why it's a little hidden. Because in Kali Yuga, it's going to be abused, that situation. Not only that, it's because the incarnation did come 500 years ago. And even people who were there could not recognize him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the most intelligent person, was sitting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he couldn't recognize that this was God. Many people could not recognize because of the nature of the age of Kali. That's why it was down by. Because otherwise everyone would say, the incarnation, where is he, who is he? He wasn't so easy to understand. He was living in Jagannath Puri. He was going down to the Jagannath temple every day. People couldn't understand. One lady, she crawled on his back. Right? He was on the Garuda Stamba looking at Lord Jagannath, and she climbed on his back so she could see. Can you imagine climbing on Krishna's back? Like that. And then the Swarup Damodara said, hey, get down. Right? And Lord Chaitanya said, no. He said, if I had that much desire, to see Jagannath, like she is God. Don't chastise her. I want to have that desire that she's got. So he's acting like an ordinary person, but this is God himself. Right? Not easy to understand. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not so easy to understand because he looks quite human in many ways. Krishna had 16,000 wives and all these things. There's a lot of opulence there. But Lord Chaitanya was quite human. Just like we had Nityananda Trayodashi. Now, when was that? Oh, what is that?
Mistake. Sorry.
Nityananda Trayadashi.
Third of February.
Yeah, it was maybe 10 days ago or something. 2 weeks ago. So Nityananda, we were reading the pastimes. In his village, right, in Ekachakra, they didn't know he was Balaram. Right? Because a lot of what he did was ordinary. So it was just like simple pastimes. Nothing was ordinary, but at the same time, you know, hard to recognize. So that's why he's called Channa Avatar. Because if he's too openly spoken about, then people will become
envious.
Yeah, and they'll try to imitate. And people are already doing it. So then, it says that in this day and age, explains in the purport, people have lost their Shraddha. They've lost their faith. So he has come to reestablish faith in religion. Not very easy. I watched a good film recently. It was about all of the abuse in the Catholic Church, which took place. And it was more serious than what I realized, actually, when I'd seen this. One devotee recommended, he said, you should watch this to get an understanding of, you know, these big religions. So I already knew these things, but when I read, it made me understand it more. And it's a big problem now in Kali Yuga because people are losing faith in religion. Because when you see these
high priests,
the inappropriate behavior of the ministers of religion, people lose faith. A lot of people lose faith. And they come to the Hare Krishnas and they think, oh, you guys are like that also, you're a religion and like that. So it's hard to establish the faith in the people. So Lord Chaitanya came to establish the faith in the people. Right? So we give them prasadam. We give them the holy name. We give them Prabhupada's books. Because Prabhupada said that will purify them. But then you have to give them hugs. This is the fourth weapon. It said Lord Chaitanya came to embrace the people. Because you give them the books, the prasadam, that, but there's no hugs at the end, they won't stay. It's very important, actually. Very important. I'm studying this. If you want to understand Lord Chaitanya's mission, you have to understand these points. It's very important. Interesting. The last time my guru came to Australia, 2001, the last time he came, and he arrived at Moolumba. He came to Brisbane first and Moolumba, and then he came to Sydney, Melbourne. And he came to Moolumba, and then he came into the room, and he sat down, and we did Guru Puja, and bathed his feet and everything. And then he spoke, and we hadn't seen him for a couple of years because he'd been sick, he had cancer. And first thing, very interesting, I remember, it stuck in my mind. He said, the thing we need in ISKCON more than anything else right now is hand-holding.
Hand-holding,
just holding each other's hands. It was very, you know, I mean, this was like, we were wondering, what was he going to say? What we need in ISKCON more than anything else right now. He could have said more chanting. He could have said, you know, better prasadam. He could have said more duty work. No, he said hand on it. Interesting. Same thing. Lord Chaitanya says embracing. Very interesting. That was his realization after going through all these, just before he left the world. So this is, we have to understand these points. If you want the movement to spread, you have to become so soft-hearted and giving. Okay. Any points?
Same message was given by His Holiness Jayapadaka Swami Maharaj when he was asked, what would you sort of recommend? He said, we should be looking after devotees. We should be actually really taking care of them. We didn't give the high philosophy of, you know, chanting this, that. Which is what you can learn, which ultimately comes down to embracing. Just embrace and accept. In fact, Bhakta Prabhu actually does this a lot here too as well. I think you probably know one lady, Amma or someone, she comes in her
hugging Mama.
So apparently Bhakta Prabhu said, I'm a devotee, I'll go and hug, will give spiritual sort of advancement to her.
And humility. What can I do for you? Means anybody.
Yeah, this is actually the essence of the whole movement. like that. It's these loving embraces that keep all the devotees bound and will attract more people. This is the point. Okay. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. So what is the conclusion? The Bhagavatam itself is saying, this is near the end of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has been going for a long time now. This is the 11th canto. It means, if we're thinking about Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami speaking together, then where would it be now? Yeah, it's probably day 6. Right? It's going into day 6. I mean, it's only the 11th canto or 12th canto. Right? It's probably the day, it might even be going close to day 7. So this is the end. Right? And they're concluding, the conclusion is? No, that's the one. Please stick to the verses, please. What is the verse saying? Let's all just make it up. What's the verse actually saying? Kali Yuga is the best. Right? It's a very interesting point. Kali Yuga is the best. Because if you practice the Sankirtan Jagya, if you practice Lord Chaitanya's philosophy in the Kali Yuga, what will you get? What will you get? If you follow it in the Kali Yuga very perfectly, right? If you follow everything, right, in the Kali Yuga, right, you will actually get a taste for chanting the holy name. Right? If you follow it very carefully, Kali Yuga is the best. Right? You can go back to Godhead in Kali Yuga. Right? If you follow the whole thing properly, right? It is the best age. It's the easiest way. Right? And it says that the residents of Satya Yuga, they desire to take birth in Kali Yuga, because in Kali Yuga, especially right now, right, you can develop the love that following in the mood that Radha has for Krishna, the gopis have for Krishna. Gopi Bhav, right? Which is written about in the Shad Goswami Ashtika. Right? The prayers of Srinivas Acharya to the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. Right? He says, Gopi Bhav. Right? This can all be attained in Kali Yuga. So therefore it is the best. It's not so easy to attain in other ages. Right? So then it says, Golokera Premadan. Who said that? Narottama Das Thakur. He says, Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. If you follow the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, if you practice the Sankirtan movement properly, then you will get Golokera Premadan. You will get the love that the residents of Vrindavan have. And if you follow this process, your ahankar will be destroyed. Ahankar means? Your false ego will be destroyed. Hands up if you feel like your false ego is being destroyed.
It's a long way to go, but yes.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So if you're not feeling like it's being destroyed, then you have to try harder. It should be being destroyed. You should feel it. It should be becoming less. Less and less and less and less. Even, you know, a little bit, and still we've got so much of it, but you should feel it decreasing, not increasing. If it's increasing, something's wrong. Right. Or maybe it's increasing and decreasing. You know, it's in one way it's coming down, but another way it's coming up. Utsahan mayi. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, you become puffed up with enthusiasm. Oh, I'm a devotee now. I say Hari Bol. I know when to say Hari Bol. Hari Bol Mataji. Hari Bol Prabhuji. I know Tadvidi Pranipadena Pari Prasnena Sevaya. I can put the tilak on nicely. Right? So we become proud. We do. By following the process, you become proud. So unfortunate, but we do. So the false ego is going up and down, but it has to be gradually decreasing. Any points?
I think it's also the best time, Kali Yuga, because it's just enough misery to inspire you to try to get out, and it's not so much that you haven't got a chance.
Yeah, that point's coming up. Yeah, good point. It's coming up. It's the best age. Indeed, there is no higher possible gain for embodied souls forced to wander throughout the material world than the Supreme Lord Sankirtan movement, by which one can attain the supreme peace and free oneself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. So nothing is more glorious than the Kali Yuga. It is the best time for practicing bhakti. Surprisingly, it is the best time for practicing bhakti. It says here that Kali Yuga is so intense, you have to chant the holy name sincerely. Hands up if you ever chant, you know, like sometimes really intensely, because like you're suffering so much. Hands up if that ever happened to you. That's good. That's Kali Yuga. Yeah, that's good. So we pray that happens to all of us. We pray, like Kunti says. Right? Let it come again and again. So if you're not praying so intensely, then pray that that comes. Because then that will make you chant intensely. So sometimes I do that. I say to Krishna, make it like intense for me so that I can really take shelter of you. And then when I take shelter of you, then take it all away. It doesn't work like that. Because I'm always scared. Because I know I have to go through the intensity to surrender. But I don't like it. I'm scared of it. But I know I say, please let it come, but just make it not very hard and then like that. So I'm difficult for Krishna to deal with. Every time he's about to push me, he thinks, I can't push the guy because he just, you know, he always... So we have to pray like that. When you become sincere, say, Krishna, may my life, so I have to call out to you. I have to surrender to you. So you're my only shelter. So we need that spirit to develop in our consciousness. So Kali Yuga does that for you. That's why it's the best age, because it wrecks your life. Right? Kali Yuga, everything's gone on. You have economic problems. You have health problems, you have
relationship
problems, you have social problems, you have work problems. You could write a book on some of you guys. Oh my God. Right. Even in the last week, just speaking with people in this room, so many problems, man, so funny. People ring me on the phone. Oh! I put the phone down and I say, Krishna, make it more intense for them. So they can really take shadow of Krishna. But take it easy on me, but for them, make it really intense. Because I'm a good friend, I pray for you. So. Okay. So, interesting point. In the purport, it says that the guru engages the disciple according to his nature. Right? Because to become purified, you'll only become purified when the guru engages you properly. If you're not properly engaged in bhakti or devotional service, you can't get purified. Like for me, if I become the pot washer, Vanirudha Prabhu says, okay, your service is the pot washing now. I'll just say, okay, I'm going to another temple. Right? He knows that, I know that, because I won't do it. Right? I would do it if all the other devotees were just preaching all day and there was so much going on, right? Then, and everyone had it so organized, I'd say, yeah, I'll wash the pots, fine. Right? But because I don't see that happening, then okay, I'll go and do other services, which, you know, maybe other devotees, not everyone can do. Right? But you have to be engaged according to your nature. For all of this to work, for chanting to work, you have to be engaged properly. And when you're engaged according to your nature, then you will get purified. Right? And you have to challenge yourself. Just like at the farm, there's one boy, he's staying there, he's chanting 16 rounds. He met the devotees in New Zealand. And then he came here, and then Bhakti Latar and Brahmakun Prabhu, they were preaching and looking after him. And then they sent him down to the farm. Right? So he's chanting 16 rounds. He's met the devotees. Yeah, where's the one place? And now he's down there. So then, this Sunday we have Holi down at, near the farm, right? So this is my biggest, like, engagement of the year, right? A lot of work to organize it all and everything, right? So then we don't have enough manpower. So then Manigriva said to him, to this Bhakti, he said, you have to cook, you know, because we've got so much to do and we have one program on Friday night before Holi. And, you know, we're busy, we're organizing, you have to cook for the program. So he came to me this morning, he had tears in his eyes. He said, I'm nervous, I don't know what to do. You know, I haven't cooked like this before for this many people, you know, it's a program. And, you know, I can cook, but, it, you know, I don't know if I'll get it right. And, you know, he's a little bit distressed, right? And I said, now this is where you'll make advancement, right? This is how you make advancement, right? Because you have to surrender. Krishna will help you. You know, he's cooked. I've tasted his cooking. He can cook. But he's nervous. You make advancement when you feel nervous. Right? The guru will engage you according to your nature, and then he'll say, now do that. Do that service. Push yourself more. Push yourself more. Push yourself more. And when you feel that nerves, that's when you depend on Krishna. And that's when you get purified. Right? One sannyasi told me, one Prabhupada disciple, he told me, a number of years ago, he said, you only make advancement when you take responsibility in ISKCON. Right? If you want to be one of the devotees who just comes along, sees the deities, takes prasad and goes home, fine, be that kind of devotee. I don't want to be that kind of devotee. That is just boring. Be the kind of devotee where you take up responsibility to help others come to Krishna. That's when you make advancement. So the guru will engage you according to your nature. And he will push you. Do more, do more, do more. Okay. This is three verses together. My dear King, the inhabitants of Satya Yuga and other ages eagerly desire to take birth in this age of Kali. Since in this age there will be many devotees of the Supreme Lord Narayana. These devotees will appear in various places, but will be especially numerous in South India. O Master of Men, in the age of Kali, those persons who drink the waters of the holy rivers of Dravida Desh, such as the Tamrapani, Krita Mala, Payaswini, the extremely pious Kaveri, and the Pratichi Mahanadi, will almost all be pure-hearted devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. So a long purport there. If you look at that purport, it goes for many pages. So, if you practice this process, if you follow the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada said, what are the four most important books in ISKCON?
Nectar of Devotion,
Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada said these are the four most important books. He said Teachings of Lord Chaitanya before Chaitanya Charitamrita was published, written. Right. But same thing, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So if you follow the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, even when you're living in Kali Yuga, you'll feel like you're in Satya Yuga. Right? You'll just feel so happy and blissful. Just like I was there at the farm today. Right? And today was beautiful. It was Melbourne nice on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Melbourne's nice. Farm was beautiful today. It was like just blue sky. It was just beautiful. Everything was just, you know. And I felt like it was such a yoga. You know, I was just sitting there in my ashram studying. I looked out the window and there's like all the plants and the trees and birds. It was just such a beautiful day. And it felt like Satya Yuga, right? And I was studying, and then it says here in the commentary, if you follow what Lord Chaitanya teaches us, in Kali Yuga you will feel like it is Satya Yuga. But you have to follow what Lord Chaitanya teaches. No? And if you actually chant the holy name properly, as Lord Chaitanya teaches, you'll feel that bliss. Your life will become very nice, even when it's crazy. So, it says that these holy places, Kali Yuga is the best time, and then where does it say is the best place?
South India.
South India. If you go to South India now, it's very pure. It's not like North India. It's more clean, more pure. Still there's some bit more motor goodness there. But actually the best place in Kali Yuga is? Mayapur. Because who is the Yuga avatar?
Mahaprabhu.
Chaitanya. Mahaprabhu. So therefore, Mayapur is the most auspicious place. Actually. And it says that in Kali Yuga, Mayapur will flourish and all the other dharmas will become more covered as time goes by. So the best time is Kali Yuga, the best place is
Mayapur
Dham. So if you're in Kali Yuga and you go to Mayapur and you practice devotional service, it is the most auspicious. Right? Or you stay here in Melbourne and you meditate on Mayapur. Right, and you worship Guru Nitai, right? Then this is the most auspicious. So then it says, in the long purport, it says, Lord Chaitanya says in Shikshastika, there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. I haven't got time, so otherwise
can
I would.
You have grammatical questions?
At the end, yeah. I've just got to finish and then we can discuss. So Lord Chaitanya says in Shikshastika, there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. Right? A very important point. That's why Kali Yuga is so powerful. Right? Because the place is crazy, but you can just chant any time and you get purified. Right? No, any place, any time, any circumstance, you can chant and you will get purified. That is the potency of the chant. It's not like that with the other processes. Right? Everything else is dependent on so many external things. Chanting is not. Right? You can be in your hospital bed, you know, sick as anything, passing stool, completely contaminated, but you can chant and you can be purified. That's how powerful it is. Right? And it says, Lord Chaitanya says within the Shikshastika, Kirtaniyaha Sada Hari. We have to chant continuously. Continuously means even while we're doing other services. Right? We just do the other services, but if we can, we chant along with it. And actually the acharyas point out, especially with deity worship and all the other services, they only become enlivened when chanting is accompanying. You can do deity worship, but if there's no chanting, it doesn't manifest. Right? The deity worship manifests, and all of our devotional activities manifest when the holy name is there. Just like we're doing holy on the weekend, right? The whole reason we just do that festival is just to spread the holy name. Right? People come and I'll throw colours and all that. Who cares? You throw colours. I mean, yeah, it's good fun, but that's not the point. But while they're throwing the colours, what's on the stage? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Even I had a retreat about a month ago at the farm, and Western people came, you know, not devotees, but Western, they came, about 20 of them. And then I spoke to one of the ladies 2 weeks later, because we do kirtan with them during the retreat, about three or four times we have kirtans, only short kirtans, most of them only like 10 minutes, just to give them a little taste. And the lady said to me, she goes, I can't stop chanting. Yeah. That's the whole point. Why do we do all this? Just to give the chanting. Kirtaniyaha sadahari. So, it says that kirtan leads to smaranam. Right? Always remember Krishna, never forget him. Right? It says in Kali Yuga, Jiva Goswami makes this point, if you try to remember Krishna without chanting, you won't be able to do it. But if you chant and you become expert in chanting, Krishna will come into your consciousness. You'll remember him. It will take. That's why Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you've been doing it for some time, you should be remembering Krishna. His pastimes should be entering the consciousness. Very nice point at the end, of that purport. It says that in order to get the benefit of the chanting, you have to give up sadhu ninda. Sadhu ninda means criticizing, blaspheming devotees, criticizing devotees. Right? If you criticize devotees, your chanting will never have effect. You can chant all the time, but you have to do both. Right? People, and a lot of devotees don't understand this point. A lot of devotees, I see so many devotees chanting, but always there's criticism coming. You're not going to get the result. Bahu jamma kadiyadi shat. You just go on chanting for a lifetime, you'll never get the result. So you give up this fault-finding mentality. Okay. There's so much in this section. I'm just trying to cover it as much as we can. You'll have to read it yourself because there's so much in it. O King, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away, since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. One who has surrendered to the Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. This will be a KMV. You might know this verse already. Anyone memorize this verse already? It's quite a famous verse. Prabhupada quotes this verse in the Bhagavad Gita. If you worship Krishna, you're not obliged to anyone else. What does that mean? It means you're not obliged to anyone else. That means you have to give yourself fully to Krishna, though. You can't say, oh, well, I'm going to neglect everyone, but I'm also not going to fully surrender to Krishna. Right? Both have to be there. Like that. Otherwise, you do have to fulfill your duties. Right? If you give yourself fully to Krishna like sannyas, then you don't have any obligations. But if you're not going to surrender that much, you still have to fulfill your duties.
Like ancestors?
Yeah, ancestors, family members, demigods, sages, says all this. Okay,
people of Chaitanya told Prabhupada for me to look after his parents.
Yeah. Yeah, if the parents are devotees, then you should look after. So, Rohini, please. Don't neglect your mother. One who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter at the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sin. So even if you fall down from the regulative principles and your practice of devotional service, if you fully surrender to Krishna, Krishna will protect you. But the seventh offense against the holy name says, do not commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. So you can't read this verse and say, oh well, now I can do what I want and Krishna will protect me. You can try and do that, but you will get beaten severely. And the person who will beat you is quite strong. Or he might send his brother. And if his brother hits you, you'll feel it. Yeah. Sometimes his brother gives me slaps. Nityananda Prabhu or Balaram, boom, like that. Not bad, but enough just to make me realize. Sometimes they just go, hit you. But if you do this offense, commit sinful activity on the strength, you will get big slaps. Very strong. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.